Hello and welcome to A-Team Group's podcast on sourcing and managing data for FRTB compliance, brought to you from our FRTB briefing in London on 14th of May 2019. The podcast includes a panel discussion focusing on the data rules and requirements of the standardised approach and internal model approach set out in the regulation, as well as the challenges and opportunities of sourcing and managing data for compliance. Listen to the podcast to find out more from our expert panel.
Before we start, we have a poll question for you. The poll question is, are you using the standard model approach or the internal model approach to address trading book capital usage at your organisation? So please. And with that, I will go along and ask my panel to introduce herself. Perhaps we can start with you, Martin.
Thanks, Selwyn. So my name is Martijn Groot, looking after product strategy and market development at Asset Control. We're a sort of fee data integrator and sort of market risk sort of and risk factor preparation solution. I have been in the space ever since the original market risk amendment of Basel I, so going through a lot of iterations. And I think what we see at the moment is a lot of foundational work, as Niels was saying, some sort of having a slow start and some bit more developed. It's quite a varied picture.
Brad Foster, so I'm from Bloomberg. I've been at Bloomberg about 2 years. I spent most of my career on the sell side. I started my career in market risk more than 20 years ago, and then moved into trading and spent most of my career in trading, both looking at portfolio risk, credit and counterparty risk within the front office, as well as obviously managing a trading business. At Bloomberg, my responsibility is enterprise content, so I run enterprise content globally for our enterprise business, and that obviously includes a lot of the type of data that we're going to talk about today that, irrespective, quite frankly, of FRTB, firms should be looking at. Thank you.
Hi, Jerry Goddard. I was Director of Market Risk at Santander for, I think, about 12 years. I recently left the organization, so not there anymore, but still interested in the FRTB world.
Hi, I'm Suman Dutta. I work in portfolio quantitative research in London, currently building a unified technology analytics platform for portfolio models, the FRTB models, initial margin models, prudential valuation models, stress testing models, and P&L models. The goal is to sort of align the front office finance and risk metrics through harmonization and consistency in the usage of the data, models, methodologies, analytics, and technologies used in the generation of these metrics.
Okay, well, thank you very much. That's our panel. And thank you all for voting. I think that the results were interesting. We've got a second poll question for you that you can answer in the next 20 seconds or so. What data issues are proving most challenging for your organisation? Ensuring data accuracy. Yeah, okay. So we need some more votes. I'll go in with our first question, and then we'll come back to some of the poll results. The first question I'd like to put to the panel is, please briefly explain the two approaches, standardised and internal model approach. When each are used, and what model approach means for your capital requirements and the impact on your product and trading desk. Perhaps we can start with you, Simon.
Sure. I think Niels have already given a brief discussion on that. So the standardized approach is a parametric sort of VAR type of approach. Prescriptive regulatory weights and correlations have been given to us. The key difference is you have to use sensitivities tied to your trading book positions, and then transform them into a standardized capital number, similar to initial margin calculations in many respects. A little bit more complex than that, but very similar in terms of foundation. Initial margin internal models approach, it's more the sort of the VAR style approach, generating a distribution of P&L across various scenarios, whether you're using historical simulation or Monte Carlo for generating your future scenarios, and then sort of looking at the tail of the distribution and with expected shortfall being a measure on the tail of the distribution. So briefly, that's basically the two different approaches. In terms of differences, one, the standardized approach is simpler. If you already have a established trading book, models, pricing models, risk systems, and so on, but the IMA approach is relatively complicated in terms of running it and keeping it under model governance, because you have to sort of support two different tests, the back test which was already there, plus the new PNL attribution test, and then there are a whole host of other tests which are in risk factor eligibility tests and others. On different aspects of the model. So I think there is a trade-off between, if you're looking at it purely from a capital angle alone, in terms of, if you were to use an IMA, there is a definitely cost of actually running and living with it. But then, as Niels mentioned, if you are a bank with a sizable trading book, or even if it is a mid-tier bank, it might be that it's not necessarily the capital question which drives the choice. It's also the complexity of the risk factors that you're running, and the regulators might have very much a view on what you should actually adopt as your main approach.
Yeah, lovely. And Joe, you'd like to add anything?
Not a great deal. That's pretty comprehensive, Simon. I think it's clearly a very difficult choice, and I think Selwyn, you mentioned already about the difficulty of really knowing where you're going to go until you've run the numbers. A bit of a vicious circle, whatever the word is to describe that situation. But I think there are two things you want to do irrespective of where you're going to go, and one is take it as an opportunity to really understand your business model, because there will be pressures on trading desks, especially if you're trading anything complex, with the non-modelable risk factors and whether the desk gets kicked in or kicked out or not. And also create a good data model for your wholesale business, because, again, irrespective of where you're going to go, there's a lot of data involved in this, far more data with a standardized approach than previously. Internal model approach is certainly, in my mind, a massive data management exercise. And I think if you do those two things, especially with the extended deadlines, you're going to give yourself a better chance of making a good decision around which approach you take. I think if you try to start solving that problem by running numbers, you're just going to get yourself into a real mess, and you're going to end up 2 years down the line and really not know where you're going. So it's, I think the deadline gives you an opportunity to take this seriously.
Okay. So we have this competition. This is for the whole panel. This decision to be made for firms between often standardized and model approaches. Actually, be interested if you could have the results of the first panel up. One of the questions I would like to ask the panel, though, is what impact do you think the impending capital flaws we have coming from other regulations will impact on that choice? Sorry, they can't see the results. The results are that on the first panel, when we look at the choice between internal and standardized approach, we have basically nobody's chosen standardized approach only, but we've got 40% undecided, and internal model approaches 60% either all desk or selected. So clearly the internal model approach will feature for firms. But just generally, my question is, do you think that the capital floor that will be implemented through the Basel regime will have an impact on those choices?
Well, I mean, it could reduce the total number of IM, internal model banks, right?
Yeah.
If the difference is smaller, and the entry ticket to adopt IMA is pretty significant. So you can avoid that. I mean, it depends very much on the type of bank, right? If you're small and have a specialized book, you still want to go IMA for that book. But I think it could maybe narrow the IMA playing field a bit.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe I can just sort of in line with what we started this discussion with, and I think what is probably more relevant is You know, when we look at FRTB and we look at what's in front of us today, irrespective of FRTB, I think what we have is a framework, or at least the start of a framework, where banks can actually take a common sense approach to data management. You know, if you know, obviously the question is, you know, do you implement IMA or not? And clearly there's a cost, a capital cost versus implementation cost benefit analysis, impact analysis you have to do. But even before you get to that, I think, you know, if you're a, you know, if you're a large sell side shop, if you're a bank today, I think historically, you know, data management has been a major burden for banks. So when you look at the cost drag on firms around how they manage or historically have managed data, the number of vendors they take data from, you know, the ability to start to normalize that data, to actually link different data sets together, to do it in a way that is actually beneficial as an organization, extends way beyond FRTB. Mm-hmm. Irrespective whether you are, whether we talk about FRTB in the context of expected shortfall or VAR, you still need pricing data. Irrespective whether you narrow it down to FRTB and you talk about whether or not you need pricing data, it's the set, you know, you need it for standardized approach for SBA, for your delta sensitivities, Vegas sensitivities, your curvature scenarios. You need it for IMA in terms of determining what is or isn't modelable. So I think when, you know, when I think about this discussion, I think about it from a data management perspective. I think what FRTB presents to us, honestly, is a common sense approach to how firms should look at managing their risk. You know, bringing the data in once and storing it in a data warehouse, having a